Listening Library presents Terrible Times, being the third and final extraordinary adventure in the Eddie Dickens trilogy, which began with the remarkable A House Called Awful End and was followed by the ridiculous Dreadful Acts, all of which make up much silliness and a sumptuous feast of listening pleasure, by Philip Arder. Read for you by Martin Rayner. A message to my American listeners, now that I've had a chance to prune my beard. Hello again, my American chums. Here, at long last, is the final audiobook in the Eddie Dickens trilogy. The clue is in the word trilogy, T-R-I-L-O-G-Y. As the brainiest amongst you already know, it means a series of three. And, as is clearly stated on the cover, this is book three. For those of you who've come with me and Eddie all the way from A House Called Awful End, I hope you've enjoyed the ride. For those of you who are meeting Eddie for the first time, don't panic. Each story is a self-contained adventure, and beautifully written too, if I may say so. For those of you sobbing and wailing about this being the last Eddie story, have no fear, and please quit your blubbering. There's nothing to stop me writing some further adventures, is there? In the meantime, I hope you enjoy Terrible Times. Philip Arder, England, 2002. Episode 1, Explosive News, in which America is mentioned, but the author gets somewhat sidetracked.
America? Said Eddie Dickens in amazement. You want me to go to America?
His mother nodded. This was difficult because she was wearing an enormous neck brace, which looked rather like one of those huge plastic collars vets sometimes put around dogs' heads to prevent them from licking wounds. Only hers was made of whalebone and starched linen. Before you start crying, "Poor whale," and writing off letters of complaint, I wish to point out two things. Firstly, these events took place in the 19th century, when things were very different from the 21st. Secondly, the whale whose bones were used to make the frame for Mrs. Dickens's neck brace had died of natural causes after a long and fulfilling life at sea, with plenty of singing, which is apparently what whales like doing most. Okay, it hadn't said, "When I die, I hope my bones are used to make surgical appliances." But it's better than being harpooned and killed in its prime, in order to make surgical appliances. I say it, simply because I don't know whether this particular whale was a he or a she. Sorry. Not that Eddie or his mother was thinking of such matters as they walked up the drive of Awful End that cold winter's afternoon. She'd just dropped the bombshell about wanting Eddie to go to America. I don't mean she'd actually dropped a bombshell, of course, not a real one. That's simply an expression for a surprising piece of news. She did drop a real bombshell once, funnily enough. Actually, it was a mortar shell, but it was packed with explosives like a bomb, and did go off, which explains why she was now wearing the neck brace and, oh yes, walked with the aid of crutches. She was lucky not to have been more seriously injured. Fortunately for her, when she'd tripped and stumbled with the shell, it was like a big brass tube or a giant bullet, not something a hermit crab lives in on the beach. She tossed it over a small wall dividing the rose garden from the sunken garden. It was the sunken garden that took much of the blast, but it wasn't badly damaged either. A lot of earth flew all over the place, and an ornamental pear tree was destroyed, but little else. Less fortunately, one of Mad Uncle Jack's ex-soldier colleagues, who'd been sleeping under the rhubarb, which afforded great shade under its huge leaves, was blown to smithereens, which isn't a small seaside town near Bridlington, but means to bits. Eddie's mother was horrified. She felt guilty for days and never ate rhubarb again for the rest of her life, except in crumbles, or with custard, or a light sprinkling of brown sugar, or white if there was no brown. Mad Uncle Jack tried to reassure her by saying that if the chap had been a half-decent soldier, he would have been heroically blown up in some battle long ago. And anyway, he strongly suspected that the fool had been chewing the rhubarb leaves, which are highly poisonous, so he'd probably have been dead by now whether she'd tripped and tossed the shell over the wall or not. Before we get back to Eddie and Mrs. Dickens crunching up the drive to Awful End and her telling her son about the plans for America, there may be those amongst you who are interested to know why Mrs. Dickens was carrying the shell in the first place. Quite simply, it was because she'd found it in her sewing box. It was summertime. You might have guessed that from the size of the rhubarb leaves, and she was fed up with early morning light coming through the cracks between the curtains, so she decided to sew them together. Instead of finding her usual spools of thread, little pot of pins, packet of needles, and dried broad beans, grated by size, she found the brass mortar shell and nothing else. Puzzled, she'd gone in search of her husband, Mr. Dickens, who she knew was painting the garden. Mr. Dickens wasn't painting the garden in the sense that John Constable might paint a landscape or Turner a seascape with oil paints onto a canvas. No, Mr. Dickens was going around the garden, painting some of the leaves a greener green. As he was getting older, and he wasn't that old, his eyesight wasn't quite what it had been, and some colours, especially browns and greens, seemed duller, which was why he was going around with a pot of bright green paint and a badger bristle paintbrush. Unfortunately, unlike the whale, I have no idea whether this particular badger died of natural causes. I'm very, very sorry. Having found the shell in her otherwise empty sewing box, and knowing her husband was painting the trees, the garden was a logical place for Eddie's mother to go, and that was how she came to drop the shell where she did. Okay? Okay. I think that just about covers everything. So let's get back, which is really moving on because it happened later, to Eddie and his mother, on crutches, walking up the drive to Awful End that cold winter's afternoon. "You want me to go to America?" said Eddie in amazement. "Oh, no, hang on. Wait a minute. I thought I just about covered everything in the how she came to drop the mortar shell incident, but there are two glaring omissions, things left out. Firstly, who put the shell in the sewing box, and secondly, what it was that Mrs. Dickens tripped over, causing her to throw the shell in the first place. Both can be easily explained. The shell had been a present to Mad Uncle Jack from a local shopkeeper who didn't like him. He secretly rather hoped that M.U.J. would keep it over the fireplace, and the heat would cause it to explode, giving Mad Uncle Jack a headache and an expensive repair bill at the very least. That would teach him not to squish fruit and vegetables when he had no intention of buying them. Mad Uncle Jack had indeed put this fine, gleaming brass mortar shell on display on one of the many mantelpieces in Awful End, but it had caught the eye of his loving wife, even madder Aunt Maud. Even madder Aunt Maud was a woman who acted on impulse. The day she first set eyes on a stuffed stoat whom she later called Malcolm, she fell in love with him, and he became her almost constant companion. The day she saw the snout of a hollow cow sticking over a hedgerow, her heart went all aflutter once again, and she knew there and then that she would call the cow Marjorie and live inside her. When she saw the gleaming shell case, she wanted it. I've no idea what for, she never said. And though I give a very good impression of one, once in a while when I say he thought or she wondered, I'm not a state-registered mind-reader. All I know is she wanted it, picked it up, and was horrified to see that her hands left finger marks and palm prints on the nice brass, which might tarnish the lovely gleam that had attracted her to it in the first place. She needed something to carry it in. She went into the nearest room, and there, on a stool by the window, sat Mrs. Dickens's sewing box. Not only was it just the right size, it also had a handy carrying handle. Even Madder Aunt Maud tipped the contents out of the box and swept them out of the way with her feet under an old upright piano, putting the shell in the box. She was just about to carry it out to Marjorie when she remembered that she'd left Malcolm the stuffed stoat on the mantelpiece. It was as she dashed out to retrieve him that Eddie's mother walked in and found the shell in the sewing box. It was just a case of bad luck and bad timing. If she hadn't wanted to sew up that gap in the curtain, or had come in a moment sooner and been able to ask Aunt Maud what she was up to, or had come in later, allowing time for even madder Aunt Maud to have retrieved Malcolm and taken the sewing box, Mrs. Dickens wouldn't be in the poor state she was in now. Which only leaves the matter of what she tripped over, mortar shell in hand, a now empty pot that had once contained green paint. And I don't think that requires further explanation. Immediately after the explosion, Mad Uncle Jack dashed down the ladder from his treehouse three rungs at a time. Eddie, who was helping Dawkins polish the family silver, dashed out of the kitchen door and around the side of the house. Mr. Dickens fell out of a laburnum tree he'd been painting, and Gibbering Jane, their retired failed chambermaid, stayed under the stairs. Even Madder Aunt Maud was the last to appear, clutching Malcolm under her arm and still frowning a puzzled frown at the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?